Yo. Yeah, no, I don't know. I thought I had an intro going, but I don't. It's Tuesday morning, cup of joe, shot of rye. After that brief two-week hiatus, we are back here. Got a lot to talk about. I don't know if we'll be doing an extra portion after the show, whatever. If we're feeling it, we're feeling it. If we're not, we got a lot to talk about, obviously, with the conference finals wrapping up. NFL's anthem policy got announced, and a lot of backlash about that. And just some general stuff. It's been 2 weeks, so what have you been up to, Ryan?
A whole lot of nothing. It's actually nice to just be able to have an excuse to get dressed and get out of the house.
For me. I feel that. Yeah,
like I'm still. I feel like this is the only thing I do now is just go to the U of M and do this. But like, yeah, I like I said, if you've been following the show, I have a job starting in June, so yeah. I've been doing absolutely nothing for the past 6 weeks.
Yeah.
So yeah, I don't know. I don't do much. I just go to the gym and then go home and play FIFA.
There you go. So last weekend we couldn't record because you had the late Bison dinner that went late.
Ugh.
It was a long weekend. UMFM was closed. We were going to record at your place, but we couldn't do that. Weekend before that.
I think that was Mother's Day.
Yeah, that was. Yeah. So we couldn't record that day either because I was busy with stuff. You were probably busy with stuff. So
yeah, we're both busy. So
all doing our thing. And we finally found a Sunday to do our thing. And I haven't done a lot really, just been golfing. Look at this golfer's tan. Yeah, so like up to like my mid arm. I know you can't see it because you can't on the radio, but it's like brown arm, and then it just gets to like pretty much white. So like I was comparing, like my white friends love doing this. They're like, oh wait, let me compare my arm, and I'm like, boom, and they're like, oh damn, and then I'm like, okay, wait, how about this?
Yeah.
And then they're like, oh,
how about my regular skin?
How about my shoulder? And then it's like just pale, and they're like, oh yeah,
I win.
And I'm just like, yeah, but you're still, you know.
Well, last weekend I made sure of this because I always get a farmer's tan. Like the first time it gets really hot, like I'll leave a shirt on and I'll be outside, and then I'll be like, oh damn, I got tanned, and now I have a farmer's tan.
Yeah.
So I clocked him, like, I'm taking my shirt off for the day. Now I got a nice even tan all the way. Like,
that's what I got to do. Like,
it's not bad.
When I saw this, I was like, hey, well, I got to go, like, read a book outside or something, like, shirtless, because, like, I got to even this out, right?
No, I know, and that's the thing. I don't like tanning. I'm not a fan of that. I'll just get tanned by having my shirt off in the sun like a normal person.
Exactly, yeah.
So that way I was like, sweet, now I have a nice even tan to work with all summer. Like,
yeah,
I set a good baseline. Now I'm not working with really dark, and now I can wear tanks and stuff.
I need to,
the first tan is the key one, because that's the defining one.
That's true. Yeah, no, I messed up because I decided to go golfing with, and you can't wear like sleeveless shirts on the golf course because there's golf etiquette.
Yeah, golf etiquette
or whatever,
weird.
Even though it's like, you know, I'm dying out here. Like yesterday I went golfing, and it said it was plus 23 outside, but it did not feel like plus 23 outside. Mm. I felt like plus 33.
Oh, it's been hot. Even today's nice muggy.
So after the front nine, like, I'm dehydrated, I'm hungry, and I got like a headache pounding. And I was like, ugh. So I, like, if I had like a shirt, like a sleeveless shirt, it would have felt fine. So I had to like keep pouring water down my back, like cold water, and looked like I was super sweaty on my back. And then, like, of course, like the cute golf girls are walking, but like driving by with the drinks, and I'm like, I'm not this sweaty. I swear, it's the water. I'm not this sweaty. But yeah, no, there's
golf etiquette's funny because I see, you know, they have all these rules, yet I see on Snapchat guys who I know golf will take a tee shot like with a tee in between a guy's butt cheeks.
Yeah, no, you see all the time. Like, I don't know.
That's a thing, but you have to wear a golf shirt.
Yeah, I don't get it. Like, obviously, I don't know, maybe I could change, like, deep into, like, I'm on the third hole and just pull out a muscle shirt. Like, okay, boys, I'm changing. But, I don't know. Golf etiquette's a hilarious thing.
Funny sport.
It's like, I'm not playing on the tour. Like, why are you forcing me to look all nice for this? Like, it's just.
Where do you golf, though?
Well, depends. Like, it was different. Yesterday I went to Larder's at St. Andrews.
Okay.
And then sometimes I'll go to Oakwood.
Okay.
And then, yeah, like different courses, different times, but everyone's the same, right?
Yeah.
Like, and it's funny because, like some of the courses are like really, you know, they seem like high end.
Mm-hmm.
So you walk in and like, I don't have any golf attire.
Yeah.
So you see all these like rich kids like decked out working the shop, like, and like decked out in like golf clothing. I walk in with like Vans and like shorts and like a shirt. And I feel like they look at me like they're judging me. And I'm like, I don't care, dude. Like, I'm comfortable.
I know. Like, golf is a weird,
like,
judgy sport.
Yeah, no. And like, golf clothing's so expensive.
Oh, I know.
It's like, how much for a shirt? It's like $100 for a shirt. I'm like, I can't pay for that. Like,
I think all of my golf shirts are hand me downs from my dad.
Yeah, no, I gotta start shopping at Winners or something like that. Apparently, like, you can just find like a deal on like shirts there. So
yeah, golf shirts are also a nice way to like kind of be casual, but not, and just, but step it up like one.
Right. right.
one little echelon.
So right. kinda,
like for a job interview, like right. sometimes you can throw a golf shirt on and it'll look kind of.
Or if you want to look a bit more classy on the patio or something
yeah,
like that.
Yeah, yeah. You throw on a golf shirt and tuck yeah. it in. If you really want to go, you tuck it
you
in.
Tuck it in. I guess so.
With a belt.
I
like
guess.
It's that's golf shirts are really good for that.
I guess so.
So it's more than just golfing.
That's true. That's true. Yeah. I got to, yeah, you know.
And if you get it tight enough around your arms, you can look like your pythons.
That's, yeah, no. I admit, like, golf shirts are nice. I just don't want to drop, you know.
No, I know. It's like a Nike one is like $90 to $99.
Yeah. It's like, just give me the shoes instead, you know?
Yeah.
Like,
yeah, exactly. Know. I'd rather drop that on shoes.
Yeah. So, I don't know. And then we talked about before the show, I went to my strip club.
Yeah, tell that story. I've never heard of this. So anyone who's listening, I've never heard of this.
So I went to a gentleman's club for the first time on Friday. And yeah, I know the people who were working were very nice. They were they were doing their job, and apparently you can pay for a private shower afterwards. And can we even talk about this on the radio? This is
I don't know. Like, I guess you could just say you watched someone take a shower, I guess.
I watched a...
and you can pay for this.
Yes, I watched an adult consent to me letting them watch them shower after a show.
Yeah, that's fine.
It was different because we just had like a casual conversation. Like, we were just like... It was the funniest thing. Like, it didn't feel like... It felt normal for some reason, you know? Like,
I don't...
maybe it's because I was, like, in one, but, you know...
Oh, yeah. Just, I guess you never told me if you were intoxicated or not.
I was in one that okay. night. And, yeah, we were just talking. I felt like I was getting to know someone, like,
yeah.
as, like, face-to-face. Like, as if we were going for coffee, except this wasn't coffee. I was sitting on a stool and watching someone shower. And so, like, yeah, I was just like, oh, where are you from around here? No, yeah. I'm from Calgary. Oh, cool. Oh, I like your tattoo. What is that? Oh, it's, like, blah, blah, blah. And I'm like, oh, that's really cool. Yeah, yeah. So how long have you been doing this for? You know, like 5-10 years. Wow, that's pretty cool. Money's good. Money's really good. Yeah,
of course it is.
Yeah, so I'm like,
sitting here paying to do this.
Yeah, and then like after that, she was just like, hey, I'll give you a hug. Bye. And I'm like, see you later. And then that was it. And then, so yeah, so it was, wow. It was interesting. You know what? My first experience was an enjoyable one. It was eye-opening, and it was hilarious because my friend, okay, so obviously, you know, These workers are here to make money, right?
Yep.
And if you, let's say, you're a bartender or you work in sales, you try to convince the person to buy more and pay yep. more, right? To get more things, right?
Mm-hmm.
So my one friend, who was also in one, he went up $700 at the casino beforehand, and mm-hmm. he said, okay, let's go. And I said, all right, we can go. He was like, he met this one, and he comes up to us, and he's like, boys, yo, that chick over there, she said she's attracted to me, and we're just like, oh, here we go.
Oh, no. Classic.
Here we go. And so, yeah, so I think that night, I want to say he may have, like, paid around $300 that night.
Credit to her for working the system, though.
Yeah, exactly. I was like, props to you. Like, you're making that paper, but, you know, this is hilarious. Like, this is my friend. Like,
you're taking advantage of him.
We tried telling him. We're like, dude, like, you know, like, she's doing that because it's her job, right? And he's like, no, boys, I swear. I'm just like, okay, you do you, man. So
yeah, classic story.
You know what, it was casino money, so whatever. And yeah. All in all, a really interesting night for me. I think that was the most fun I've had in a while.
Wow.
Like, this is probably one of my best summer nights this summer so far.
It's only May, man. Yeah, a lot more.
Man, I was in one the like from like 7 to like 5 a.m.
Wow.
So,
wow.
Yeah, we were really going. So,
that's insane.
Yeah,
that's quite the story, actually.
I think
I've never heard anything like that before.
I think the next big story will probably come from Toronto when I leave on my trip to go to check out that concert and stuff. So, but apparently it's hard to get into Toronto clubs. Yeah, like apparently you got to dress nice. It's easier if you're a woman, obviously.
Yeah.
Because you can just, you know, be like, hey, you know, I'm a girl.
Well, girls always get in for free because that's what you think. If there's girls there, guys want to come.
Yeah, exactly. So, you know, I respect ladies, though. The women, you know, they get free cover. Show the girls a little bit. Get some free drinks. It works.
They do their thing. I could show something.
Exactly.
I wish I could show my pecs off and be like, look at this girl. Hey. But nobody's like.
No, yeah, exactly.
Everyone's like, put your shirt on, guy.
Yeah, yeah. Get back of the line, buddy.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, yeah.
You take your shirt off in line, be like, hey, bouncer. The bouncer's never a girl that you can just bat your eyes with.
If you did that to a bouncer, they'd probably knock you out.
Yeah, exactly.
They would probably knock you back to the line.
they'd bounce me back off the ground.
Actually, they'd probably like ban you too. They'd probably like, no, you can't come in now. Like, you,
oh yeah, like I'd be on a board somewhere. My face,
you, like, you with your shirt off.
I'd be on a list.
Like, don't let this guy in.
I'd be on a list.
Don't let
somewhere.
This guy in. Yeah, I know. So we'll see what happens. Like, apparently it's tough. So I fly in Saturday night. We're gonna try and rush one
this
in.
Saturday.
Next Saturday.
Okay, next Saturday.
Or what? Yeah, next Saturday. Yeah.
Next Saturday is June 1st.
Is it? I thought this Saturday is June 1st.
Oh, I guess, yeah, this coming Saturday.
Are we counting Sunday? Yeah, because today's, yeah. So
yeah, today's the 20th.
And then next weekend I'm going to Toronto and then Vancouver.
And oh, wow, bouncing across the country.
Yeah, and then we come back here. And luckily, no WestJet strike. There was a threat of a strike from the WestJet pilots. And I booked with WestJet, and then 2 days later they were like, and the pilots are looking to strike. And it's like, oh, okay. And then they did the strike vote. And then, but for some reason I wasn't worried.
No.
I felt really easy. No. I think the U-Manitoba strike kind of like hardened me.
You're like, I'm used to this.
Yeah, I was like, I'm a vet. I don't care. Like, do your worst. Like, and so it was fine. It worked out. They're not going to strike.
What would have happened if they struck? I don't know what the past.
Apparently, they had to give us a full refund.
Oh.
But then it's like, okay, but we got to book last minute flights. So that's probably double the price with Air Canada, even if they
Air Canada was probably licking their chops.
Oh, yeah, they were. They were like, hey, we'll offer flights. We'll open more planes for you guys, but just got to pay double. And it's like, oh, you guys.
I don't like the airlines in Canada. There's only two and they control everything.
That's true. Well, that's true.
We don't have any budget airlines. I wish we had that.
I thought there was one opening up.
I've heard that, but there was one, the Maple Leaf Airlines, a couple of years ago. That
wasn't there, like, Flair Airlines?
Yeah, like, budget airlines in Canada suck.
Oh, yeah, I haven't
tried always
them.
Fail. Because it'd be awesome to just take, you know, a $200 flight, book a weekend trip to Montreal.
Yeah.
Like, I wish we could do that in Canada. You can't really do that.
That's
here.
True.
You got to plan a whole trip, and it's cost, like, $400 or $500.
Well, that was the thing that the pilots were striking about, because WestJet wants to do like a cheap airline thing called Swoop.
Yeah.
But the problem was that they wanted to outsource the pilots. They didn't want their like domestic pilots, because it would have been cheaper to bring pilots in from the outside the country, right? Because you could pay them less, obviously. Yeah. Capitalism. But so that's why the pilots were like, hey, no, we want to fly these things. And it's like, all right, well, we'll see what happens. And I don't know if they like did a deal. I think they gotta like do like a process, but there's no strike happening. That's all that matters to me. So.
Yeah, you're right.
So that was that. Yeah, no, I don't know if it's been 2 weeks. I feel like we're a bit rusty right now. We're not in the flow. I know.
I don't know what to. I don't know what to talk about.
Because we like besides my thing, I didn't do much. All I did was golf and sleep and stuff like that. You know.
Yeah, my life's pretty boring. Seriously, I don't do anything.
Minus two. Checked out. Brown's Social House.
Yeah.
On Portage. I liked it.
Was it good?
Yeah. I think it'd be a good sports bar spot. Brown's Social House, underrated. I'll say that.
Underrated.
Yeah.
The only one I've ever been to was one on North Main.
Yeah. I think they're going to compete with Boston Pizza.
I don't like Boston. I was there last night. I just don't like Boston Pizza. It's like, I don't like the food. I had a Chipotle Chicken Club there yesterday.
Oh, yeah. Cactus cuts. You gotta do cactus cuts all day.
Yeah, that was my side was cactus cuts.
Oh, okay.
So it wasn't that bad, but
right.
I don't know. I just don't. Boston Pizza, I like the local feel of certain places. I know Brown's isn't a local spot.
But no, yeah, but it definitely felt like it was a bit local. So
like, I just like different, I don't know. Boston Pizza is just too cliche for me.
Yeah, I feel that. I mean, it's like an easy, like, place to pick if you want to go somewhere, right?
Yeah. Maybe. No, you want to go to BP? Okay.
Yeah. If people are just indecisive.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Just why don't we go to BP? Yeah.
That makes sense. That's true.
I saw Jimmy Carr last week, British comedian.
He came in. He had a show here.
Yeah, he had a show here. A game during game 5 or 4.
Really?
During the conference finals.
Oh no way! How was the show?
It was good. He's really funny.
Yeah.
He's very racy humor.
Yeah.
He crosses the line sometimes. I mean,
I've seen a couple of his specials, overall, like, yeah,
I think but his wordplay and the way he delivers jokes, it's just so good.
Yeah,
he's super good with that. Like, I have to respect the work he puts into jokes. And
okay,
he's good. And then you know, this was like the first time I've been to the Burt in like almost 10 years, mm-hmm. a long time.
Mm-hmm.
I like that place.
Oh yeah,
got a nice old school.
Man, that theater is really nice for stand-up comedians and concerts. Yeah. Like I saw Bill Burr there,
mm-hmm.
And yeah, like it's just it's such a nice theater. Like it's perfect for stand-up.
I just like the old school feel to it, like the old bathroom.
Yeah,
kind of old. It's still
the seating and everything.
Yeah, it's got kind of a nice charm to it.
The side like balconies.
Yeah,
yeah,
yeah. I kind of like that.
I want to go there one time and then have like the tiny binoculars on the handle that people that like the bourgeois would have back in like the 1800s.
Yeah, exactly.
Just like quite. Quite exquisite. This man is quite funny.
Here's a tidbit for you.
Yeah.
Guess what I'm reading right now.
What are you reading?
Jordan Peterson's book.
Oh. What, the 12 Rules for Life?
12 Rules for Life. I'm on rule 4. My buddy sent me the ebook. I did not pay for this. He sent me the ebook for free. And let me tell you, it's not a good of a book.
He's not that good of a person either. So
I mean, I'm fascinated by this guy. Like I've been watching a lot of his stuff, and like, cause I want to know. I heard everything. Everybody always,
They
say their things. So, but I'm like, I want to have my own opinion about it. I'm not gonna let other people formulate.
Yeah,
I think he's not as bad as people portray him as, but I don't think he's that good as people portray him as either. I think that's my thing. Is like he's not a villain, but he's also not a god. People see him as some kind of weird god masculinity, and it's weird.
I notice people place him like on a pedestal, kind of like with like Ben Shapiro, just like.
Well, I would put Shapiro at the bottom of a barrel.
Yeah.
And then Peterson's. I think Peterson has somewhat. He's coming from somewhere. Shapiro's just a goofball with a radio show.
Right.
For me.
Right. Yeah. No, I agree. I know. No, like I agree with that. I think with like Jordan Peterson and like Ben Shapiro and all these like conservative like intellectual quotes.
Yeah.
Like
Shapiro, I don't think he has, I don't know what his background is educational wise.
I think he got like a bachelor's in something and then he just ran with it. So it's like, yeah, it's.
But like Jordan Peterson is a professor. He's educated. I think he knows what he's talking about. There's no doubt about that. I think he just also, he is more of a preacher rather than a lecturer. He's kind of.
Oh, okay.
Like, that's what I get. He kind of sounds like he's just preaching a message, but and his book is also way different than his lectures.
Oh, okay. Well, it's probably, it's probably more refined, his book, than his lectures,
no, his book,
right?
It just seems like rule one is, he says humans are like lobsters, how we have a hierarchy.
Yeah.
I'm like, well, okay, that's not that hot of a take, by the way, like, comparing us, he's like, because serotonin works the same way in lobsters as it does in humans. I'm like, cool, man.
Yeah.
And then rule two is like something about how religion has value. And I get that too. He's like, people like to, you know, dump on religion a lot. I was like, cool, okay, religion, fine. If you want to be religious. Rule three is like, have friends who you want to see you succeed. I'm like, oh my god, thanks, buddy. Like, I don't know why people are seeing this book as very revolutionary. It's just, these are like.
So is it like a self-help book pretty much?
Kind of. And then rule four is like, you know, I can't remember what it is. Have order in your life or something. Like, look at yourself first.
Oh,
I'm like,
yeah.
I feel like I could get this from anywhere.
Yeah.
Like, he's not groundbreaking for me.
Yeah, you know what? Like, I feel like with like guys like Jordan Peterson, like you can like you group them with like other authors that are like super popular right now, like Gary Vee,
mm-hmm.
or that guy who like wrote the book.
He's very Gary Vee like.
And like whoever wrote that book, the Subtle Art of Not Giving a F.
I actually
or
read that book too.
Yeah, was it like, it's a self help book, right?
Yeah, it is, but it's actually pretty good. I think it's the way it was written is pretty, it's pretty good.
Yeah, I don't know. It's like a lot of these books, like
you always take them with a grain of salt. I think people take these books and read them as if this is their Bible. Kind
well,
of
I think
thing.
The I think the reason why they sell is because they're easy to digest, right? Like
you
can relate to it really easily.
Yeah,
and that's what a lot of like stuff now, like entertainment and everything, like social media especially, like if it's relatable, it'll sell, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so I just find with like authors like Peter,
Mark Melanson, or Martin,
like books by like Peterson and Gary Vee and that Mark guy, like,
mm-hmm.
and like, you know, it's an easy way for people who don't read a lot to, you know, kind of, you know, feel like they're doing something.
Yeah,
I guess.
It's like it's I'm not saying it's pandering to the lowest common denominator, but it's like it's for that.
Yeah, like it's for people who have, you know, I think you and I can agree, as we said it before, like critical thinking is at an all-time low.
Yeah.
And yep. I think it's for people who lack sort of or don't have as much of a skill with critical thinking.
Yeah, it's like, well, listen, this guy can tell me how to live my life.
Yeah,
this guy,
exactly.
This guy, like, people want other people to tell them how to live their lives.
Not enough people.
Why,
not enough people self-reflect, I think.
No, and that's why I think Jordan Peterson's so popular, is because he has this message of, and he's a very good speaker. Like, there's no denying that.
Yeah,
and the way he does things, he's just like it that attracts people. Who, you know, a lot of people on the right feel like they're silenced or whatever, and if this guy speaking up for some things,
yeah,
so they see that and they're like, this is how I want to live my life, I want to be like that.
Yeah.
And but they're also not looking at it critically and thinking, well, what is he actually saying? And how is he going about doing things?
Exactly.
Like, you have to take everything any of these guys say, right, left, center, whatever. You always take it with a grain of salt.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
But that's the thing, and that's why I kind of wanted to read Jordan Peterson's book and see his lectures, because I also like reading and consuming content I don't agree with.
Yeah, and it strengthens your arguments too, right? Yeah. If you disagree with it, at least you have points you can disagree with. You just gotta be like... Because, a lot of discourse is just, yelling, well, he said this, blah, 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 right? So,
Jordan Peterson gets a lot. I see a lot of tweets about him, how he's this, that, and I'm like, whatever.
I just like the jokes.
The jokes are funny. Yeah. It's funny, but I'm also why are we always, why are we just always quick to assume that?
Yeah.
And he said it, he said it himself, that he's like, because I'm standing up to the left, and Nazis are also standing up to the left. He's like, this is a good point by the left saying, well, how do we know you're not a Nazi kind of thing? That's the problem, I think. I don't think he is a Nazi.
No, he's not. No. He's just seen to be a right winger.
Yeah. And he's just a different guy. And yeah. I think it's a lot of the problem. I've talked about this with everybody's discourse now seems like you're either right or you're wrong. It's black or white. It's left or right. There's no dialogue anymore.
Yeah, it's true. That's true. And that's why a lot of these books that are really relatable, they sell well, because there isn't really a position being pushed. It's more just look at what's going on.
It's focusing on the individual and I think that's another thing too that Peterson really hammers home is the greatest minority is the individual.
Oh yeah.
And I'm I think that's a good point.
Yeah. Depends how you take it, I think.
I know. I think in different contexts, but I think the ultimate minority is the individual.
Yeah.
I think that's what...
I agree, yeah, no. Especially with how, things are going with, Twitter, social media, Instagram. I can agree with that. There's a lot of... It's cool to hop on trends, and then it's cool to, make fun of trends afterwards.
Yeah.
Yeah, which is hilarious to me. It just swings back and forth. It's funny. It's funny to me.
I just think that, I had this conversation. I can't remember who I was talking with, but I think everyone always seems to be part of a group. You always want to be part of a group.
Yeah.
Whether it's whatever, this community, that community.
I think that was especially pronounced with the Winnipeg Whiteout.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think that was a huge thing. People were like, oh my God, we're a part of something bigger. And every human wants that. But I just think then you get stereotyped with all that kind of thing.
Yeah, it's true.
All these kind of people are like that and that. It's just like... we should look at people at their individual merit. That's why I'm not painting Jordan Peterson as a Nazi.
Right.
That's kind of why I wanted to see who he is.
Okay. All right.
That's my explanation for why I'm not saying I'm some big Jordan Peterson.
No. Yeah. No. Yeah. Exactly. You fleshed out your position pretty well there. Yeah. I think I did.
Yeah. I just think it's interesting too. I also was watching some PragerU University videos. Those fired me up, man.
The what you?
PragerU University.
PragerU?
Yeah, PragerU University. Or maybe it's Prager University, but whatever.
What's Prager University?
It's this university in the Netherlands, but they're very, very right wing.
Oh, I see.
And they have a lot of, I watched one on the NFL anthem policy, which is a nice segue we could talk about, but.
No, I don't want to talk about that.
Okay.
I want to talk about NHL playoffs.
Let's talk about playoffs.
Yeah, let's pick it up a little bit.
With a whiteout.
Let's pick it up a little bit. Yeah, we did talk about the whiteout. The whiteout was washed out by Vegas. I think my favorite part about there's two things. So Vegas beats Winnipeg. One, that's one less sport my dad is yelling at the TV about now. So when I'm in the basement, I'm chilling. I'm not hearing a bunch of complaints, which is nice. But Blue Jays still suck. So hearing those, we'll get to that later maybe. And the second thing is. I think it's hilarious just seeing the reaction from some of the people, the Winnipeg fans, like the huge homers, right? Because I know some Winnipeg fans who can respect Vegas and what they've done and how far they've come, right? But the ones that make me laugh the most are the ones that are like, they were gifted a team.
Yeah.
They were given this and they were given that.
The expansion draft was lenient for them.
The NHL is rigged.
Yeah.
And it's just like, okay, were you saying this after the draft? Because no one was saying that after the draft.
No.
And I feel like you're only saying this now because your team lost.
Yeah.
You know? And it's hilarious. I love the reactionary response.
It's insane. People. I've heard people say the NHL rigged the in Vegas's favor. Like, yeah, the refs were on their side. I'm like,
I saw, yeah, I saw
what you're talking about. The Jets had every opportunity to win that series.
Yeah, exactly.
They shot themselves in the foot as far as I'm concerned.
Can you not respect Vegas's transition game? Like, it's so good. Like, they will make you pay for turnovers. So.
Oh, I know. It's insane how, like, their forecheck, like, every game that I watched every game of that series.
Yeah.
And it looked like Winnipeg was the better team every time, but the only way they did was off of zone time. They just had a lot of useless zone time.
Yeah,
but
yeah.
Vegas takes their opportunities, creates them out of nothing.
Yeah, no,
it'll take them and are lethal.
Yeah, that forecheck and that transition game is insane.
Yeah, they create so many opportunities off the rush and so many opportunities on the forecheck. They send three guys in almost every time, no matter what. You know, what time's left in the game.
Doesn't matter the score, yeah.
Yeah, seriously, I've never seen a team that relentless.
Yeah.
They win all the battles on the boards. They're just always, they work so hard.
Yeah, yeah.
And, yeah, they fully deserve to be where they are.
And, like, Fleury has been a wall.
Yeah, obviously. Exactly. Fleury's been their best player. He'll win Conn Smythe, might even win Conn Smythe if they lose.
If he puts up the same similar numbers in the Stanley Cup final, he'll definitely win the Smythe. I don't know how he wouldn't.
Yeah.
I love I saw one comment. Where someone was like, oh, the Vegas was rigged to get Fleury. And it's like, no, Pittsburgh had two good goaltenders.
Yeah.
And you usually take the younger one if you have to give one up.
Yeah.
Like, I don't understand.
Well, they said they made a deal with Vegas way back at the trade deadline to say, take Fleury.
Yeah.
I don't know what else. I don't remember what it was. But, and then, you know, also they got Marchessault. The Florida Panthers gave
Marchessault
to the Vegas Golden Knights to take Riley Smith.
Yeah, I love that. That's
instead
hilarious.
Of, I don't remember who, and then they also gave Alex Tuck to the Vegas Golden Knights to take Eric Holla.
Minnesota did that, yeah.
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 And then those four guys have been all
unreal.
Unreal for them.
And then, like, Gerard Gallant gets sent home in a taxi and he's going to the finals now.
Yeah.
It's just like, it's insane. There are so many good storylines coming up in this final. Like, you have Vegas as an expansion team, and then you have Washington where we might be able to see Ovi win a cup finally.
I don't know who I'm split on. I'm torn on who to cheer for.
I want Ovi. I want.
I know. I
kind of want. You know why? Like, I have. Like, it's. I feel like it's just. When it happened, was like, it's. There's just like a few players in the league right now who deserve a cup so bad and are like reaching that point now where like they're going to get older. Like with the Sedins, right? Like, I was so sad that they retired and they couldn't get a cup because I'm a Canucks fan and I wanted to see them get a cup. I wanted to see it. It didn't happen, so I was just like, okay, whatever. So my next best choice now is Ovi. I want to see Ovi win because every year people always like just ragging on him, like he doesn't do anything in the playoffs.
Yeah.
He's a goal scorer. He's a greedy. He's a greedy player.
He's Russian. He doesn't have the same desires.
Yeah,
that's my favorite argument. People say they're Russian. They don't get the same kind
of
what?
It's like, do you see this guy in these series? Like, he's putting his heart out there every game. Like, he wants to win one so bad.
I know.
Seeing his reaction after the Pittsburgh series and then after the Tampa series was awesome, too.
Well, I loved how he scored that first opening goal in Game 7, a minute in, and it's just a celebration. And I'm like, wow, Ovi wants this so bad.
He was loving it. He was loving it.
Like, yeah, I think I'd be cool with Ovi winning it, but I'd also be cool to just have Vegas finish it off
and that's
win the
true.
Cup. So this is one of the first cup finals in a long time where I'm like kind of not cheering for someone.
I just want to see a good series.
Yeah.
A good 7-game series.
Because honestly, this playoffs has sucked in my opinion.
This year's playoffs?
Yeah, for me in terms of games and just the teams and the matchups.
Yeah.
I don't know. For me, it hasn't been as good as other years.
I mean, I haven't been really paying attention to a lot of the series, like except for the Winnipeg ones. Mm-hmm. But like other than that, like, maybe the Nashville Winnipeg series was really nice to watch, like because at least it went to 7 games and it was tight.
Yeah, that was a good series, and then
it was tight. But like other than that, like
I can't really name one that I was like, wow, what a series.
I think last
hockey.
Year was a lot of fun because like the first round saw like 17 overtimes.
Yeah.
And like I was like, oh, yeah, Bucci overtime challenge, let's get it. Yeah, every single time, right? And then this year there was like maybe like what, like four.
There's
or five?
Only been 10 overtime games
in this entire playoffs.
Or no, though maybe I think I saw a thing yesterday. It was like there's been 17 overtimes all series. There was 17 overtime
in the first round last
year.
Yeah, no.
And that was just so intense. There was a lot of good matchups. And
yeah,
like the Pittsburgh Philly matchup really disappointed me.
Yeah,
Boston Toronto was okay. It was good. Like, it didn't have that kind of same blood, I felt like.
Yeah, exactly.
I
there
thought there'd be a little
more rivalry.
Boston-Tampa, not a good series.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Tampa-New Jersey wasn't a good series.
And then,
Yeah.
Yeah.
Nashville, Colorado. I totally forgot Colorado was in the playoffs. Winnipeg, Minnesota.
I thought that was gonna go seven. I thought Colorado had a chance, but Kinnan was flying around the ice. I like that.
Vegas, LA, not good. San Jose, Anaheim, not that good. Those are both like sweeps. That was not that good.
And then Vegas, San Jose was dominant. Vegas, too.
Whatever. Like, I don't know. There hasn't been anything good for me. Yeah. It hasn't been as fun to watch this year.
I'm hoping this Stanley Cup final will be fun to watch, though.
I hope it makes up for all the.
I think it'll be fun because we know what's on the line for each team, right? Yeah. Like, there's so many good storylines coming into the series. So, but do you like the wild card format for playoffs?
I do. I'm a big fan of the current format. Yeah. I think it's good. I don't know. A lot of people complain about it. What about you?
I don't know. Like, I think I'd like to go back to the 1-8-2-7-3-6-4-5 format. I think just because you can mix and match a bit more.
Yeah, but I had this idea too. I remember having completely divisional playoffs and almost like having a Memorial Cup style.
Oh
final.
Yeah, you're talking about this with Jason, I think.
Yeah, yeah. We were saying that you should have top four or whatever make the playoffs from each division,
right?
And then you have your own battle in the division, and then the winner from each division comes out, and then you play a round robin tournament for the final, and then the single game knockouts to go the cup final. I think that would be a lot of fun and make it a lot more interesting. And
it would be fun, yeah.
And then all of a sudden, division battles just become so much more important.
But that's why NHL implemented the wild card format, though, right? It's again more divisional battles.
Yeah, I don't know. Just get the best teams available to make the final or the playoffs, so you don't have like, when you had the top three division winners, or the top three in each division, make up the top three. Sometimes you could have teams that would barely have made the playoffs if they're top of their bad division.
Right. Yeah, it's true.
So, I don't know. That to me would be ideal. I think that'd be fun.
Let's try it out. Maybe try it out in exhibition.
Yeah, and then I thought too, why not just have 1-16 and have a March Madness type style?
I want to see that. Once they expand to Seattle, I want to see like 1-16
on each side, amazing. And then just like single game knockouts, and then you could have whatever.
And then for like maybe like the final eight or the final four, do like a seven game series.
Yeah, I think that'd be so fun
because I think I'd want to see what were the standings this year like.
I don't know. You'd have to look at the overall
standings
from each conference.
All right, we're both going. This show is a mail-it-in show because we're
the score? Here?
We didn't come in prepared.
No. We're half an hour in. Oh, wow, this is a long time.
Okay. So
NHL Hawks. So do you want to look at? I'll look at.
So what? Eastern Conference, we would have had a Tampa, Buffalo.
Yeah, Western, you had Nashville, Arizona.
Oh, okay, but the Western only has 15 teams, though, right? So this would be weird.
Well, then let's say Nashville gets a bye.
Okay.
So then you would have Winnipeg, Arizona. That would have been fun.
Yeah.
Vegas, Vancouver.
Yeah.
Minnesota, Chicago.
That'd be a good one.
Anaheim, Edmonton.
Yeah.
San Jose, Calgary. L.A., Dallas, and Colorado, St. Louis.
Those all sound like good matchups.
It'd be fun to watch.
I think I'd watch a game of elimination. Like they should try that out with the exhibition teams. When all the rookies are out, like before you go out, do like a little exhibition tournament. That'd be fun.
Washington or Tampa, Buffalo, and then Washington.
That would probably get more people to watch too, right? If you had like a tournament going on.
Yeah,
exhibition.
But then the argument too would be, what's the point of the regular season then? It's just seeding.
Well, the regular season would be like...
Just to find out where you finished to take the playoffs.
The normal players. Like I'm saying like exhibition should use like...
Oh!
When you're using like rookies and like, you know, AHL guys to play the games, right?
I see.
And then just make it more fun because like it'd be more unpredictable, right?
Yeah.
Because you could definitely have... And then use the previous year's standings to do the seeding. Arizona would kill it.
Yeah, you're right.
I don't know. I think it'd be fun.
Yeah, I think too this hockey season needs to be shorter.
Yeah.
I was thinking today on the way, I'm like, oh yeah, the Stanley Cup final starts tomorrow. Like I totally forgot about it.
Yeah, so we're recording this on a Sunday, so
yeah. So game one will have been already happened since, but still, like it's such a long time. It's June. I just hate hockey in June. Like I'm over it.
It's
like as soon
while.
As I get out to the cabin, the weather gets nicer, and you start wearing shorts. You're like,
I don't want
to
watch.
I'm not watching hockey anymore. Like what's you know?
So I guess we're recording this on a Sunday, but still, like any predictions for this series?
Ooh, that's tough. I don't know. What are your thoughts?
I want Washington to win, but I feel like it's going to be Vegas in six.
I feel like Vegas is going to win too.
Yeah.
Like I want, my heart says Washington,
exactly.
But my brain says Vegas.
Exactly.
Vegas is just going to do it. There's not, I don't feel like they've taken out everybody in the Western Conference. The big bad Winnipeg-Nashville series, everyone was like, the winner of that's going to go to the Stanley Cup final.
Yeah, yeah.
Everyone was saying that.
Yeah.
And I was like, and, you know, that didn't. They didn't.
Yeah.
And especially after game one, I know Winnipeg fans were like, oh, this will be a cakewalk. Everyone was like, this is going to, Vegas' story ends here.
Yeah, they had four straight. You lose four
like
straight.
A gentleman's sweep is what it's called.
That one account that I kept sending you tweets from was hilarious. Yeah. Like, she was so rattled.
I know. Oh.
She was not happy about Fleury putting his finger in Wheeler's ear.
That was hilarious.
She sent eight different quote tweets to different accounts saying the same thing. This is similar to Marshawn licking.
No.
This should be an offense. This should be a misconduct. He should be taken out for game two and three. And it's like, okay, you need to chill out.
Some people just get so wrapped up into sports.
It's crazy. It's crazy.
I can't believe attempting to be a sports writer, I think the removal of sport of myself from being wrapped up in a sports team is like best thing that's ever happened to me.
Oh, exactly. No, I watched the this year's playoffs with like complete like just nonpartisan views.
Yep.
Like I was like, I want to see a good series. So
yep.
I love the Nashville Colorado series because I was mm-hmm. close. Nashville Winnipeg was fun to watch because mm-hmm. both sides exchanged wins. Mm-hmm. I think the Vegas Winnipeg series was fun to watch because it was nice because like it felt like Winnipeg was supposed to win that series because everyone was like, oh, you know, Winnipeg's a better team, blah, 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 right? But just, like, you got to really see Vegas, like, show off how good their game is.
That was, like, the pinnacle for me of Vegas just being able to...
That was their coming. Like, if you had doubted them the first two rounds, then you should have, like... That should have solidified your opinion that, okay, Vegas is good. Like, not Winnipeg is good, Vegas is good.
I know. Like, well, everyone was like, oh, the Pacific Division's weak.
Exactly.
You know what? Nope.
Like, did you see Martin Jones and Jonathan Quick playing net? Like, they were playing unreal hockey.
Well, Jonathan Quick had some ridiculous stats in a sweep loss. I mean, that one was tight as hell.
Yeah.
So, I mean, and then, like, I know Vegas won the Pacific Division. Yeah, it's a bit weaker consider, I guess, but I don't know. I still think, like, obviously they're not that. They're, you know, who cares if they beat up on Pacific Division teams all year?
Yeah, exactly.
They're in the Cup final.
Like, I would argue, you know, like the Western Division overall has really good goaltenders, and we saw that in Pacific. Like Quick and Jones, they aren't like cakewalks.
No.
And Vegas made them look silly because they just have such a good game.
Well, neither is Hellebuck. He's a Vezina.
Yeah, he's a good goalie, but for the transition game,
he played really bad in that series.
Yeah, you know what? That 7-game series against Nashville, I think, really just.
I think Winnipeg never got over the fact that they beat Nashville. It seemed like they were just still trying to play Nashville.
It really set the tone. Yeah, no,
we're playing Vegas now.
I was reading an article and like they just never adjusted their game. Right?
No,
because they want to get fancy to the neutral zone, but that's Vegas's strength. Like they'll
shut you down in the neutral zone and then take it back
and turn it over.
Way.
Yeah. And then you know you see all these 2-on-1, 3-on-2s. Like
they'll never dump it in either. They'll carry it in their zone entries.
And that's what Winnipeg had to do was just to dump it in and you know. Sure, they had more ozone time, but the times they didn't dump it in and tried to like carry it through the neutral zone, that's when they got caught.
Yeah,
and they just never adjusted.
No,
and
I know it was insane. I can't believe it's. I don't know if that's on coaching or if that's on the players. I feel like it's a bit of both. But like, why are we not adjusting?
Yeah.
I mean, it took till game five for Maurice to take out Enstrom and who else did he take? He put in Kulikov for Sherratt.
Yeah,
both guys were getting hammered. All Enstrom and Sherratt were pretty bad for them. It took them that long to take him out. My opinion, they should have taken him out after game three.
I think
when the game series is still in hand, when it's 2-1, and if Winnipeg comes back in game four and makes it 2-2, all of a sudden it's a whole new ball game.
Exactly. But I don't know. I think, you know, and it's I feel like a lot of Winnipeg fans, or at least most, were, you know, they're a bit salty because they felt like they were entitled to a cup. But it's like you missed the playoffs last year.
I know.
To make it to the third round after missing the playoffs last year, that's pretty good.
Well,
right?
And I kept saying this to people who are like, Winnipeg's going to the cup. I think Winnipeg has to learn to lose before they can ever learn to win.
Exactly.
There's no way. And then they're like, well, yeah, but they're naive. I'm like, well, I think most teams, like, look at Nashville before they, or not Nashville, Chicago, when a lot of people are drawing comparisons to the Chicago-Nashville team, or why do I keep saying Nashville? Chicago-Winnipeg of 2010.
Yeah.
2009, Chicago made it to the conference final and lost.
Yeah.
And then the next year they won the cup. who knows? Winnipeg can still – they got a good team. They got to make some moves this offseason in terms of salary cap. But
Yeah, exactly.
I expect them to see, you know, this far next year.
And, like, you know, someone might say, oh, but Vegas is their first year. It's like, but, man, like, if you – Fleury is battle-tested. And, like, it's not – I feel like when it comes to playoffs to make it, like, later, like, to go deep – sure, you need skilled guys, but having that cohesive unit too, like just having the chemistry on the ice. Winnipeg, like in the third round, once it got to game like 3, 4, and 5, it didn't, you know.
Well, I think Winnipeg's biggest problem is like Byfuglien. I mean, I never liked Byfuglien. I know he does his thing. He's a big guy, but I've never liked him. I think he's too much of a liability. For all the good stuff he does, he's too much of a liability. He,
you know what? Like, I will say, like, I like him, but there are some plays where it's like, you shouldn't have pinched there. You shouldn't have done that.
He gets selfish, and a lot of the other Jets, like, Lane is squeezing his stick too tight. Like, guys just get on Winnipeg. I feel like it just becomes an individual effort where they think they can do it all. Ehlers just whipping into the zone by himself on a 1-on-3. Mm-hmm. I see when they're down and they're when Winnipeg's up and they're doing good, they're playing really well.
When
they're down, all of a sudden they just start squeezing their sticks too tight and get really individualistic, and that hurt them.
Yeah, no, I agree. And I feel like, you know, maybe we could say too there were a lot of posts that were being hit by Winnipeg. But even then, it's like, you know, for all the luck that you want to say that was involved, there are so many other adjustments you could have made to, like, give yourself a better chance.
I think Winnipeg had every chance to win this series with all the power plays they had. I don't know why people are saying the Vegas refs or the refs were in Vegas' favor. Winnipeg had way more power plays than Vegas.
I love that.
Did.
I love seeing that, though.
Like, they were 0-for-4 in Game 5, and people are like,
Winnipeg's
getting screwed by the refs. What? Guys, you were 0-for-4. Your power play was garbage.
Yeah, no, that was tough to watch. I don't know what's happening. Like, it's just,
it's Winnipeg. But and then, like, the thing is that I saw their power play. They would have their first power play unit, they'd have Scheifele in the slot, Lane on the other side, and then all they would do is feed it to Wheeler on the boards and then try to get it to Stasny up to and whatever. Need two passes, Scheifele or Lane.
Yeah.
And all Vegas had to do was kind of just watch that and
that
was it.
It's the same thing over and over. And then, like, sure, like the few times they managed to get it through, it just didn't happen, right? Because it's like...
Well, and then, they did score, and then Vegas would go out and score 30 seconds later, which is insane.
Yeah.
I've never seen a team do that.
Like, it's just... I feel like Vegas, that's their game, too, is, like, when you get comfortable, they catch you at the perfect moment where you get a bit too comfortable.
Like, they're, like, waiting to pounce. Like, the Jets finally... Yeah, I felt like the Jets had to work so hard to score.
Yeah.
Vegas would just have to... They could just be like, oh, whatever, we got
really? No, really, though. Like, Winnipeg was really grinding it out, and then Vegas just like, oh, turnover. Yeah, and it's a goal. Yeah. And it's like, what?
I know. Like, I think the prime one was when Lane tied it up. I think it was game 4. It was 1-1, and then Nosek scored to make it 2-1 right away. And I think just seeing his face after, like, he looked defeated.
Yeah.
Because then he's like, oh my God, we got to do this again. Yeah. We got to score again.
And you could feel the air. Like, I think I would say that Winnipeg's, like, home, like, crowd definitely helps a bit. And if you can just take them out like that, like, that helps you so much.
Yeah.
Because, like, We as a people in Winnipeg are already pretty bummed out.
Yeah.
So, you know, when something like that happens, it's just like, it's like,
I feel like great.
It feels like it's magnified. Yeah. It's just like, oh, no.
What, Vegas is like, 9-1 or whatever when they score first in the playoffs?
Something like that.
They're a team that's designed to score first, the way they play.
Yeah.
Like, they literally will score first almost every game. I feel like we could see like a sweep if this season, if they keep scoring first. But they're, the way they play, the way they forecheck, and the way they are, they're designed to score first.
Their
game plan is for them to score first, and they do it.
They are an analytics dream, I feel like.
Seriously.
Like, just the neutral zone play, the forechecking that they do, the quality of the shots that they get on net. Like,
yeah, exactly. They may only have 25 shots, but the quality of 15 of them are good enough to... But, you know, the thing, like, Winnipeg's like, oh, we outshot them, blah, blah, blah. I saw, like, shots from the slot, Vegas outshot Winnipeg.
And
Winnipeg never utilizes their point. They never utilize, like, they would never.
That's what I was wondering, too. Like, they got it to the point, and, I mean, maybe the lane's blocked, but at least, you know, I feel like there were a few times where there was an open place to get a rebound, for sure.
Exactly. Like, I didn't see that. They would drag the Vegas down low, and I'm like, why aren't you tossing it up to the point when you have a wide open lane?
Yeah.
They would drag him down low, and then they wouldn't do it. They just try to force a pass or shoot or do this, and Vegas would be like, thank you, and then take it the other way.
And I mean, not a big deal, but Fleury, I mean, he's 12-3 with a 9.4 something.
Oh, he's ridiculous.
Save it. Like, it's just, he, we can, we, like, it's just, the team looks so good right now.
I know.
It's insane how good they, and they look like they're having fun.
Which, yeah, I know.
Which puts, like, Fleury's smile, yeah, I love it. Like, infectious. I just feel like they're all having fun. It's just like, I think they like me over here. Yeah. It's just like, oh, man, like, how, I can't, like, I think that's why I like not having a horse in the race this year.
Yeah.
Was just like, I can enjoy the character that that Vegas has, right? Like, yeah. I love it. Like, it's just something.
I wouldn't like them as much if, let's say, they beat Edmonton.
Right.
I don't think I would.
Oh, for sure. I feel the same way.
I'd be like, ah, but I get it.
I'd feel the same way.
I would feel bitter, but I'd get it. But I get to enjoy it more now that I'm a neutral.
Exactly. I think that's the best part about being a neutral hockey fan, is just not being invested in team. Like, even with Vancouver now, I'm just like, okay. But, like, I've shifted away from it now. It's been a nice.
It's fun to just disconnect and look at a team and be like,
yeah,
take it for what it is and realize sports is a form of entertainment.
Yeah.
I am not going to let this affect my emotions. I'm not going to be like, sun is still going to come up tomorrow.
Exactly. Like, I'm not going to let a guy who makes $10 million a year probably wouldn't like care about me if he saw me in the streets, like, let him dictate my emotions.
Exactly.
Right? Like, I'm not going to let that happen.
No, you know? The team loses. Ah, damn, that sucks. Yeah, okay. Yeah. Get up, you know, move on with my day.
I mean, yeah, I can say, oh, they represent the city, and it's like, well, I don't care. Like,
no, they
it's
don't.
Just, like, whatever.
A lot of them don't care.
Yeah,
they're here to make a paycheck and go home.
A lot of them are just playing the game, and just signing sheets and getting the money. Like,
that's fine by me, but you know, they entertain me, and that's what I like looking at athletes. And you're an entertainer.
Yeah,
sorry,
exactly.
You're nothing more to me. Like, I don't want to. You're here to entertain me, and I'm here to watch it.
Do you feel like that's where a lot of, like, hate towards some of the hate towards Vegas comes from? Is that they're not, like, a conventional, like, traditional team? Like, they're very, like, you know, they're an expansion team.
No, I know, they're different. They're from Vegas.
Fleury's having fun. They're all smiling. Yeah. You know.
Well, they don't fit the mold of a traditional hockey team. They're not like the Toronto Maple Leafs.
They have like the crazy pregame
shows. I love that.
Yeah,
that's awesome.
It's different. It's different. It's fun. Like, and then people want to complain, like, oh, well,
it takes too long.
They're
just
not
play
learning.
The game.
They should be skating on the ice and on the pond. And it's like, do you know, like, how, like, players they'll look now? They're not skating on
the
pond.
I know. Yeah.
You know? Like, that's. I showed you the tweet. It's like, oh, it's the culture. There's no culture there. And it's like, okay, but, you know,
there's no culture in.
They're developing a culture.
Yeah, exactly.
Like, how can you hate a sport being expanded and, like, getting new fans for a sport?
Yep.
Like, this is the only reason why hockey is so unsuccessful compared to the other three other major North American sports, is because it's people like you who, like, want to just rag on people, like, new fans and bandwagoners. And
it's like the old thing where it's like, if you had new money and old money, like, people who have old money seem to be, like, skeptical people who have new money.
Yeah,
kind of thing. Like,
I don't know.
You got your fortune later than me, so I'm going to look at you differently. Like, you're not a part of the club.
Yeah, I never understood the hate with Vegas. Like, it's just, like, no one cared after the draft. No one cared midway through the season.
Yeah, everyone's just like, oh, they're going to suck. They're going to finish in first.
And then all of a sudden they're doing good. Now you hate them. It's okay. So you're obviously, there's some jealousy here because it's not your team.
Yeah.
And now you want to push that onto the fans, the new fans that they got and everything.
I will say this, though. Like, Vegas, like, George McPhee, great job, whatever. But, like, he had the ultimate advantage.
Oh, yeah.
He had no bad contracts to deal with.
Yep.
He got to study the league for a year,
yep,
watch and pick the players he wanted to do, manipulate the GMs to get what he wanted, basically.
That's true.
He did. He had I feel like a lot of NHL GMs, no matter how bad you think they are, could do a similar job.
That's true.
That McPhee, maybe a little bit different in terms of style, but he, like, I think he had a wide open blank slate and, like, that was the advantage Vegas had, I think, in anything. Not the players they selected, but they had the opportunity to really pick the players they wanted.
Oh,
every single player on that team is a player they wanted.
Mm-hmm.
Every GM in the league has had players that are like, how did we get stuck with this guy? Bad contract. Always cleaning up somebody else's mess.
Yeah.
McPhee's had nothing. He's had himself. This is all him.
That's true. And I mean, but you know what? I'm sure owners and GMs are happy because revenue sharing, right?
Also,
I saw something. It was like 12 players from the draft, from the expansion draft, didn't even play. Like,
they're not
on the roster anymore, right? So it's like,
well, and then
some of them worked out.
The ridiculous amount of picks and prospects that they've gotten down on the farm.
Oh, it's crazy.
Like, Vegas is going to be good for a while, guys. They're here to stay.
Yeah. I want to see them win more. Just because I feel like I want to see the reaction from people.
Oh, it's great. It's great for hockey. It's great for the game.
Exactly.
Anyone who says it's not good for the game.
Yeah.
I think the biggest thing why people are saying it's embarrassing for the NHL is, I was like, this is the ultimate salary cap team. Like, this is showing you what the salary cap has done to the game.
Yeah.
And I said this to people. I'm like, I'm not going to go as NBA far in terms of great teams, but I like seeing those great dynasties. Like, you like seeing great teams built, and seeing them lose was almost just as fun seeing them win.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
You know, I know a lot of people probably wouldn't have liked the Oilers back in the 80s or the Canadians back in the 70s, but I think seeing those kind of great teams come together and dominate, I think that's all part of the fun of the sport, not the parody.
Yeah.
Like, it's so hard to bet on hockey. It's ridiculous.
Oh, yeah.
It's not fun, and I don't do it anymore.
I know from experience.
Yeah, I don't do it anymore because it's not worth it.
I still do it. I'm losing money. Anyways.
But, yeah, it's not worth it because it's like any team can beat anybody on any given night.
Yeah,
and it's there's a cool part about that, but there's also an annoying part about that.
Yeah, yeah, I feel that. I don't know. I'm okay with not having any great teams. I think just seeing...
No, I get that too.
Yeah, I know, exactly. But, you know, there's obviously the fun involved with, like, having, like, someone, like, in basketball, like Lakers and Kobe and
Warriors
and Steph.
Just those are great teams to watch. And just, you admire the greatness that they are. That's so good.
Exactly.
Because you know they're not going to last forever.
Like the Patriots, obviously, with Tom Brady. The Seahawks for a bit there, they were dominant.
Yeah.
Like, it's fun. It is fun. And they're fun to watch if you're a fan. They're fun to hate if you're not a fan.
I know. Yeah. But, and, like, for me, I'm not a fan of the Patriots, but I admire the greatness of Bill Belichick and Tom Brady have done on the field and what the Patriots have done.
Yeah.
Like, I admire that. They're a great team, and it's fun when they lose. Like, it's fun when the Eagles can go in there and beat them. It's
that's true.
They just took out the big, they slayed the Giant. Like, you get those are great sporting moments.
Yeah, that's true.
That to me is fun. Like, when the Giant falls and, you know, you get that kind of upset. That's what makes sports fun for me, is those underdogs. I love seeing those Giant underdogs being able to pull it off.
Every time I hear about the Patriots and Eagles Super Bowl, I always think, because Bill Burr had a bit on his podcast, and he was like, man, when Brady went to go for that catch, you really got to see how old he was.
I know. Oh, man, that was hilarious. And then
he looks like a stud in the pocket, but once he gets out of there, he looks like he's 40. I could catch that ball.
Well, Carson Wentz did. Or no, not Carson Wentz. Nick Foles.
Nick Foles.
That was the ultimate slap in the face, man.
Yeah, man.
Oh, I loved it.
Swinging Nick Foles.
Oh, that was my favorite Super Bowl.
And the MVP. The MVP.
That was my favorite Super Bowl moment in the last couple years.
I'm pretty sure I saw development. It was like he declined to go to the Browns because he wanted to stay as a backup in Philly.
Why
he was
not?
Like, yeah, that's fine.
I got Baker Mayfield now.
Yeah, exactly. Do you think he'll be good?
I don't know. Rookie quarterbacks in the NFL are either like really good or really bad.
How do you feel about Manziel on the Ticats?
I love it.
Are you going to go to a game?
I don't know. I'd love to.
I'm going to go to a game.
I want to see him play. I want to get a Manziel
exactly,
jersey.
Exactly, right? I think I'd get a Texas A&M jersey, though. I wouldn't
want to. I want a Ticats.
I don't want a Ticats.
Oh, I think that's even funnier to me.
I don't want to be that guy.
Yeah, I know.
I know you want to be that guy.
I want to be that guy.
But I want to be like the hipster guy. Like, oh, I liked him before he went to the CFL.
Yeah, yeah. No, I think it's cool. It's awesome.
I'm excited. And then
They say he's gonna be the backup all year, but I want to see him get some reps.
And the Bombers, he's not gonna be the backup all year. There's no way. There's no way. He's going in week three, week four for sure. There's no way. You have Manziel on your team.
Oh,
and
I know.
And you hear all these comments about how he looks comfortable now. There's no way he's the backup all year.
I don't even know who their QB is now.
Some guy.
Kevin Glenn, is he around?
No.
I feel like he's played for every team in the CFL.
Kahari Jones. And the Bombers, they got Ruben Randall, and they got some other NFL receiver, too.
Ruben.
Yeah.
They also got Rashawn Simonize from... They drafted him. He was drafted by Cincinnati in the NFL, got in some drug problem, I think.
Oh, okay.
But I remember he played for Calgary, and he shredded the Bisons.
Mm.
And I loved watching him play. He's super good, and I think the Bombers have something with him. I'm not a CFL guy at all.
I'm not a CFL guy either.
I don't follow the CFL very often.
But I heard Manziel's coming, and I'm here for Johnny Football. I'm here for comeback season.
Yeah, I'll go to a Bomber game dressed head and toe in Ticats
gear. You know what the funniest part was, though? I follow him on Instagram, and he was like, I got two big announcements. First off, I'm signing with the Ticats. Second off, I got my own podcast with Barstool Sports. I'm signing with Barstool Sports. We're going to do my own show. It's called Comeback. Like, he seemed more excited about doing his podcast than playing for a CFL team.
We should get on a Barstool Sports.
We should
get our own podcast on.
Yeah,
Barstool.
I mean, I like, you know what? Okay,
I'm not a huge fan of Barstool.
I know you're not a huge fan, yeah, but I like their podcast, like Spit and Chicklets. I like that's a good podcast. I think they do a good job. Right now, they got Ryan Whitney, and Paul Bissonnette, And have you listened to the podcast?
I don't listen to that podcast, but I watch his documentary series.
Is it good?
Oh my God, it's the best.
Is it?
So
I heard it's really good.
It's the way it's filmed, like how serious and the production quality, but like the self-deprecating humor.
They were talking about it. They were like, it's like the filmography is really good. Mm-hmm. Like they get good shots.
Good music,
but
really well done. It's funny.
They on one show, they you gotta listen to it. Yeah. I'll send you the link. They had obviously Oilers great Ryan Whitney, but they also had Teddy Purcell on the show.
Oilers great.
Another Oilers great, and
Ryan Whitney hates the Oilers, and it's funny to me.
Oh, it's hilarious, and
so is Patrick O'Sullivan,
and Teddy's talking about his time in the KHL, and they're talking about like. There's at one point they're like, oh, what was your first reaction when you had pregame pasta and guys just squirting ketchup all over their pasta? And I'm like, man, Russia sounds insane. The KHL is you gotta listen to it. It's funny. Like, I know, like for me, like some hockey guys, like they're pretty douchey to me. But you know, there's some guys that are like, you know what, they seem pretty chill. Like they have good stories, they're nice people. So
Barstool Sports is like I've been meaning to. Listen to Spit and Chicklets.
Yeah, no.
I'm kind of like, I'm almost podcasted out. I got a bunch on my, I listen to Dave Zirin's podcast, which is really good.
Oh, yeah.
I listen to Chris D'Elia's, Bill Burr's. I've been trying to get into Joe Rogan's, but it's so long.
3 hours, yeah. It's a bit long.
And people are always like, just chop it up. I'm like, well, I like to sit down and listen to an hour-long podcast. Yeah, to me, it's good. That's the way to do it.
Exactly.
I don't like to just chop it up and be like, I got to remember what he said. Like,
yeah. I got some more podcasts. I gotta read more books. Listen more podcasts.
Yeah, books are fun. I've been reading a lot of books lately.
I gotta hop back on RuneScape. That's
dude, it's dying.
Old school RuneScape?
They're getting rid of it.
Old school?
I feel like I just saw a thing. RuneScape after 17 years of being online is going down.
Hold on.
I'm dead serious.
Old school RuneScape. I'm looking it up. Top stories.
They're getting rid of.
Oh, RuneScape Classic will shut down.
Yeah.
Not old school RuneScape. Oh, okay. There's listen up.
All right.
Okay.
I'm getting educated.
There's RuneScape Classic, which was the first iteration of RuneScape, developed in 1995. Okay. Then there was RuneScape 2, developed in 2002. Okay. And then there was RuneScape 3, developed in 2010. But in 2015, they went back and opened more servers for old school RuneScape, and that's still running. So.
Oh, so you're good?
Yeah. So I remember when I played for a bit old school RuneScape, when I made my comeback on old school RuneScape, I just put a podcast and I just like grind it out. I'd be like, hey, click, 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 listen to Bill Burr.
I've played it once, but I always remember my buddies would play it and I was just like, this is just maddening. How do you guys just
I love that. Oh, that game. I like the old reason I'm not touching it is like, okay, I gotta read like
how addictive it is.
I gotta read like 3 books because once I go back on RuneScape, it's done. Like game over. I'm not even gonna make it out alive if I don't go. So yeah, that's just how.
Did you watch the Champions League final yesterday?
No, but I heard.
Did you see that goal?
See
Gareth Bale's goal?
No. But I heard he got subbed in at like the 60th minute, and
He scored a bicycle kick from the top of the block, and it's the most insane goal I've ever seen in my entire life.
But Real won, right?
Yeah, they did.
Who they beat?
Liverpool.
Liverpool, that's right.
But the goalkeeper, like you gotta see the stuff. Like I'm surprised my whole Twitter feed was watching the UCL final yesterday.
Man,
I was like, who you guys watch soccer? Like what?
Champions League and World Cup.
I know that it's gonna get wild. It's gonna get wild for the World Cup.
I'm
excited for the World Cup.
I'm excited too. I just wish Filipinos were more athletic so they could have like some sort of Olympic team. Because like, if you saw the
is it bad? I'm laughing.
No, it's not, because I'm telling you this right now. Everyone's seen that viral Olympic diving team where like they dive off the like it was like the dives really bad like bellies flop.
Yeah.
Like that was the Filipino diving team. Okay. I'm watching the World Baseball Classic. It's like the two teams.
Qualifiers?
Yeah, the qualifying. They're playing Australia. Their starting pitcher, he's throwing heat 80 miles per hour. I'm just like, come on, dude. Like, you got to throw off speed or, like, you know, put some brake on your pitches if you want to make it alive. This guy's getting hammered. He's like, guys are going, taking him yard like every like third at bat. I'm like, oh my goodness. Soccer, it's like, it's not working out, apparently. Basketball, they have their own league, but I've never seen a player transition from the Filipino basketball league to the NBA.
Southeast Asia, or Asia in general, doesn't do very good in soccer.
No, yeah.
Like Asia, like Australia is always wins the Asia.
Yeah,
thing.
But South Korea qualified this year, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's right.
South Korea is pretty good. Japan's pretty good.
Yeah.
Australia is pretty good. Like that's about it.
There's a South Korean player on a Premier League team.
Yeah, Heung-min Son.
Where's he play on?
Tottenham.
Tottenham. The Spurs.
Yeah, the Spurs. Ah. Heung-min Son, and then there's...
I got to get more into Premier League.
Shinji Kagawa. He's Japanese, yep. And they have someone... His last name's Honda. He plays... I don't remember where he plays.
E-Honda? Street Fighter?
No. But he's... There's Japan. It's Japan, South Korea, and Australia. Those are the Asian teams that are good every year.
Got it.
In general, it's going to be a European team that wins anyway.
Probably, yeah, obviously.
And then, South America, it's Brazil, Argentina, maybe Chile.
I'm gonna cheer for the team that I fell in love with, the Ivory Coast,
Cote d'Ivoire.
That was my team. I saw them killing it that one year. It was like 2012 or
yeah. No, 2010.
2010. Yeah, I was like,
that was the South Africa World Cup.
Oh yeah,
that was a good one.
That was.
I've got to cheer for Germany.
Oh yeah, that was the one that Germany spanked Brazil, wasn't it? Or no, that was 2014. Yeah.
That was that's top five one of my favorite sporting moments.
Of course it was.
It's awesome.
It was mine too, though.
Oh yeah, I feel like it's everybody's. It's hilarious. Like, if you watch that, it's hilarious.
Because it was in Brazil too.
In Brazil, yeah. It's like Canada getting smacked 10-1 by Sweden in Vancouver.
No, Latvia.
Yeah.
That'd be amazing. No, that's be a good European team, obviously. Yeah. Wow, okay, we covered that hour pretty good. It was a bit slow of a start, but we got through it. I don't know if you want to do an extra part after this.
It's up to you, man.
Yeah, it's up
You're
to,
hungry.
Yeah.
I'm hungry.
Yeah, I'm hungry. Okay, well, any parting words?
Don't drink and drive. Go Vegas.
All right, peace out. Go Caps. Go.
Okay.
All Caps.
Go Ovi.